to the John Covey Podcast, the place to thrive and not just survive. Are you looking for business ideas, sales and marketing advice, or some motivation and courage to chase the life you desire? John Covey is a multi-award winning success coach, helping you close the gap between where you are and where you want to be in the easiest and most enjoyable way. Interested in learning more about working with John? Head over to johncovey.com, where you will find a selection of free tools, content, and information. Okay, let's dive into this episode. Here's your host, John Covey.
Right, okay, so Helen, welcome to podcast episode 77. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, John. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Marvellous. Likewise. I'm really excited to find out about this year. Well, last year rather, because it's been groundbreaking.
Yeah, last year was a big year for me. It was, last year was the year we surpassed £1 million in sales orders, have to say that.
Yes.
So it's £1 million in sales orders for my flagship program, which is the LinkedIn Mastermind. And we did it between October 2018 and October 2019.
So. Absolutely incredible. How do you feel about that first? That's an amazing achievement.
Well, I feel great about it but it's funny the way it's triggered off loads of people. So I always have to caveat that by saying, you know, that is turnover. Well, it's not even turnover, it's sales orders. So a lot of people pay over 12 months. So it's not even cash in the bank, it's in sales orders. Yeah. But what's been interesting about doing it is the way it's seems to upset a lot of people. That's been the funniest thing about it. It's been great for us. It was part of a business plan that we put together. So the funniest thing about doing it was, or hitting it, was that feeling of like inevitability. So when I set out in January, I need to dig this out actually, I need to go back. So I do a live most days on my own Facebook, post on my personal Facebook wall.
Sure.
And the early ones in January this time last year, I was saying, you know, this the year before I'd done 200,000 in sales. And I'd said I wanted to do £1 million. And when I started saying that, I was feeling physically sick, you know, and I was like, sounds like huge, you know, to go five times what we've done.
Sure.
But, you know, I still had a plan and we set out to do a plan and you know, we implemented some big changes, which you need to do to get a different result. So when I actually hit it, it was kind of like that feeling of course we hit it. So it's funny, that's the entrepreneur life though, isn't it? You set goals, you hit them, you feel mildly impressed and then you go on to the next one.
Of course. I mean, was 200,000... the largest number you'd done prior?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, the most I've ever got paid in a job is 20 grand. So to do 200K in turnover. I've run businesses for a long time, but in this business itself, this is a totally new sort of style of business to me to go into the online world and showing, you know, working almost purely online. Before that, I was selling into corporate, selling social media, Facebook marketing campaigns.
Sure.
So to go completely out of that was out of my comfort zone, to go completely into the online world, which, as we all know, is full of absolute charlatans.
Of course.
And to try and position myself as, you know, I am a real genuine business owner and this has worked for me and I want to help people in that way. And I know we've heard it a million times and it's almost like I'm a living, walking cliche. Like, you know, I've got the backstory, I've got the debt, I've got the divorce, I've got the mental health, I've got the bullying, you know, tick, tick, tick.
Sure.
I'm a woman, I'm a single mom, you know, I'm from a northern town.
Yes. I mean,
I talk about all this stuff all the time, but my biggest challenge has been to make people believe me that when I say that I can genuinely kind of help people and I am doing this as well as to make money, but it's to help other people. It's almost like, even when I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, such a cliche, cringe bag, stop it. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been a wild ride and I've enjoyed it.
Brilliant. Do you know, you said the word there, charlatans, didn't you, a lot of the people in the online world. How much reality do you think there is that? Is there really a lot of charlatans or is there people that just take information and don't apply it?
I think there's a lot of charlatans who believe that second statement.
Right, okay.
And use that as them. You know what I mean? I think that's the truth of it. Yes, of course there are people. I haven't been doing this for, this has been my third year. There's 10% of anyone who do anything. So, you know, 10% of people do nothing.
Sure.
And there's nothing you can do to help them.
10% do nothing.
Yeah, so and 10% do everything.
I would have thought it would be much higher.
No. Not in my world.
Not in your world.
10% of the people that get away from me. Yeah, so 10% of people do nothing, and there's nothing I can do to help them or to make them do what they've done. Because it used to really, really, because of the world that we're in, and I think, yeah, there are a lot of charlatans. It's not something I talk about a lot because I see people using that as their content, and I think it's a weak position in terms of content. Yeah. You know, if all you've got to talk about is slagging off other people, then, you know, it's a weak-ass position.
Well, it says more.
However, yeah, it is. You know, you should be talking about your success and about your, you know, the impact that you're having rather than, you know, dissing other people.
Agreed.
You know, we're not like low-grade rappers. However, you know, the fact is, and that's what I have to fight against, you know, I have to fight against the fact that this industry, let's call it the online training and coaching industry. Sure. Yes, 10% of anything, yeah, is everything. Uh-huh. 10% of people are fantastic and doing great work.
Yeah.
10% of people are complete charlatans, complete charlatans, as in, like, are really selling smoke and mirrors, nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the middle, we've got a lot of people who are meaning well and are, you know, trying to help people in their own way, or they're trying to make money in their own way, but they're not really hitting that point where what they're teaching works.
Yes.
And it's almost guaranteed to work. So, and then they fall into that trap of, well, you know, people just buy the information and don't do anything with it. Yes, right. Of course, people do that. 10% people do that. Mm-hmm. However, that again is a weak position. It's like, you're still, you know, if you're going to try, if you're going to teach people something, A, you've got to have done it yourself.
Yeah.
So again, I don't want to labor the point, but if I see another money mindset person with no fucking money, you're like, no. That's, you know, it's nonsense, right? Business coaches and run businesses, nonsense. Yeah. You know, yeah. I don't care what anyone says about, again, I've seen it a million times. It's like, yeah, of course you can be a great football coach without being a star football player.
Sure.
However, you can't be a great business coach without having a great business.
Sure.
Just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And you can't be a money mindset person without having some money.
Totally agree.
It's like, even the fact I've got to say this is ridiculous, right?
It's so obvious. It's missed though, isn't it? Which is often the case.
Yeah, it is missed. The thing is, again, this world is full of great marketers. Doesn't mean they're great teachers. Doesn't mean they're great. They've got great content. Doesn't mean they've got great results. And that's where I've struggled in a way in like. The frustration. I don't know if you follow my content, but like this Christmas particularly. So we had a good year last year, obviously. It's probably an understatement. We've scaled things up. We've put all like boring yet sexy things in place, like, you know, operations directors, finance directors, you know, systems, procedures, SOPs, loads of people.
Yeah.
Very expensive, you know, well, whatever expensive means, but I think our fixed costs are about 30 grand a month. So, you know, it costs money for this stuff. Facebook ads. So we spend a lot on Facebook ads. So if you don't know my business model, how it works is we run a free 5-day challenge. So everything we do is geared at getting people into that because we know that we convert between 5 and 10%. It used to be 8 and now it's more like 5 because a lot of it's coming in from cold traffic.
Yeah.
So we run lots of Facebook ads, getting people to join my free 5-day challenge. I have ambassadors and I have affiliates. So we have like, I think we're close to 300 affiliates. So people who say to people, because it's a big problem. People are like, what do I do with LinkedIn? Big problem, yeah? People are like, I don't get it. So then people can post their affiliate links and then they get a kickback way down the line once I've taken through this process. So we get people into the 5-day challenge. I then work with them for 5 days. If you've not done one, I suggest that you do. And that, well, you know, because 90% of you'll never buy from me, so it's okay. It's not like there's no hard sell, but there is a sell. Of course, we try and upsell you to the masterminds. Sometimes we get people who are a bit upset about that, and I'm like, listen, clearly, I give you 5 days worth of free training.
Yeah.
At the end,
we ask you to buy stuff.
Yeah, we ask you to buy our stuff, and we ask you in a myriad of ways.
Yeah.
You know, all the ways that you've signed up for. So we will hound you with emails, with, you know, testimonials, with.
You're transparent by that.
Yeah, of course. And I always say, look, listen, if you learn nothing from me, at least you can learn how to run a business because this is how it works, right? We ask people to buy from us.
Sure.
So we run this 5-day challenge, which have gone crazy. You know, now I think last one we had 3,500 people in.
I saw that. That's incredible.
Yeah, which is mega. So, you know, and now we teach people how to do 5-day challenges as well between me and Phil. I'll talk about Phil later.
Yeah.
Phil Harrison. So we get people into the challenge. I give them 5 days of training. We then convert 5 to 10% of those at the back end into the LinkedIn mastermind. And we do that once a quarter. And it's a well-worn kind of machine.
Yeah.
Anyway, this time we invested about 25 grand in Facebook ads, whereas normally we'd normally spend about 6 to 10. And we took on a fancy agency, which I'm not going to say too much about. However, apart from that it cost us lots of money. So what happened was our ads went everywhere, and they went everywhere over the Christmas period. And I don't know about you, John, but this Christmas felt like the longest Christmas ever. It felt like it just went on and on and on. It was kind of, I think, because of the way the days felt.
Yeah, the days felt funny, didn't they? Yeah.
It felt funny. And I went back to the office. I came back here a day early because I was that bored. You know, it's just like, I don't even need to be in the office. Just, I'm here for the fun of it. You can't see, but I've got a pool table and some sofas and a bar. Like, that's my office. But what happened was my ads went into millions more people who were all sat at home and all half pissed. So the abuse that I was getting on my ads was like off the scale. It really was. And that links back to what I was saying about people thinking I'm a charlatan or putting me in that category of, you know, it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
So I ended up having endless online arguments with strangers. Yeah. About how actually you might think I'm a liar or you might think I'm a charlatan, but actually my stuff works. I'm a normal single mum from Warrington. Like, I teach people this stuff because I know it works. It's guaranteed to work if you do the work. I have made £1 million in sales orders in the last 12 months. Yeah. And the reason for that is because my stuff works. Well, no, I had people looking at my accounts on Company's House, I had people street viewing my house to see if it looked like someone that a millionaire would live in. Even though I was like, I clearly don't state I'm a millionaire. I'm clearly not a millionaire. Like, and these are like business coaches. I'm like, you do know how profit and turnover work, right? And they're like, you know how profit. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I say it's in sales orders. Like, you know, and that I found that really frustrating. And and I find that generally quite frustrating.
How do you process that? Because you must take it quite personally. Or have you learned to switch off?
And I talk about this in my content. I talk about this quite a bit because it affected me a lot more this time than normal. And I think that's because we were off. Wow. So everyone was off. So, like, you know, I'm a single woman. Sure. I don't have nothing else going on in my life. Right. I'm joking. I have got other things going on in my life. But I just felt like a lot of my friends and all the people I'd normally, like, hang out with, party with, or, like, with their families, obviously. My kids are teenagers. So they obviously don't want to hang around with me. No, obviously not. I don't know. I felt like I spent a lot of time looking at these comments. Where normally I'd be really busy. I'd be doing stuff. I'd be here. I travel all over the world, you know. So I've always got loads of stuff on. And I had this gap. And I was just ended up looking at all these comments. And I was like, God, this is what, even though I put stuff out about it and people saying, oh, you know, you must rise above it and you must ignore them and you mustn't feed the trolls and, you know, they're only jealous and this, that, and the other. And I was kind of like, no, I shouldn't rise above it, and I shouldn't say, because it's not okay, is it?
Yeah.
Like, I think the best example of this was the woman who does, like, she's from Liverpool, and she sells naked photos of herself for cash. And she's bought herself a car. I don't know what the car is. It's like a Lamborghini or something. And she put on Facebook something like, oh, thanks for everyone who's, like, bought pictures of my gash or whatever. Like, I've made £1 million and I've bought this car.
Yeah.
And she's getting loads of abuse, right? And she's saying, and I followed her for a bit, and I thought she was brilliant. Like, you know, she's just making money. She's doing it generally. She's like, she said, I'm making money providing service people want. I'm paying my taxes. I'm looking after my children. I'm not actually, you know, I'm not being a prostitute. Even if I was, that's not a problem. You know, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought, you know what, good on you. But what she said, which really stuck with me, was all of you lot out there who are, like, giving me abuse are the same people who are saying it's okay not to be okay. And the same people that if I top myself tonight and you've all put this stuff, you'll be, you know, the same people will be saying it's disgusting, you know, it has to stop, you know, this is people's mental health we're dealing with, it's not again. And it's kind of like, and although it's like not the same analogy, I felt a bit like that. I was like, well, hang on, I'm supposed to rise above it. These people who are commenting, this is on Facebook, so I can go and look at their stuff. These are guys, mainly guys, I'll be honest, probably 80% are guys, mainly guys, mainly middle-aged men, mainly married, mainly got families. And one of them who was like really having a go at me, he was like, you're a liar, you're a charlatan, this bullshit, you know, has to stop. I don't want to see this stuff on my feet. And I was like, I'm not though. I'm not a liar. This is my business. It's a free 5-day challenge. Like, I've took nearly 15,000 people through it last year. Like, this is it. And I was kind of like, come on, mate. Like, I'm a real person. Yeah. And he was like, I don't give that. Give me loads of grief. And I was like, if we were at a dinner party and you were there with your missus and you spoke to me like that, she'd be going,
she'd be,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you speaking to her like that? You don't know anything about her. You just made this assumption. And it was just kind of going on. And in the end, I was just like, yes, I should let it go. Yes, these people, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I've got kids. Mm. I've got teenage daughters. I've got hundreds of, if not thousands of people who, for whatever reason, follow me and look up to me and think I'm some, like, I'm an inspiration. I mean, which terrifies me. Because I'm like, clearly, you know, if you're going to follow it, you can think anyone's an inspiration, then I am not it. But, you know, I do have a duty of care to people. I've got thousands of paying customers who look at me as somebody who's sort of leading the way of marketing online and give them hope that they can do the same. So they are going to, they're going to bump into this. They are going to encounter this, definitely, especially on LinkedIn.
Sure.
LinkedIn's full of arseholes, like real nasty people, you know, who love to try and bring people down. Again, these are people who've got jobs.
Yeah.
Like I've talked about this before. Like, I'd love to do like trollhunters.com, where people like film, where I'm filmed, and then they film me going to these people's office
and being seeing, like, them in person,
sitting in reception and
I
going,
I think that's incredible.
Hiya, John. Yeah, hiya, John. Helen Pritchard's in reception for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get some of these people around the table. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the guys that are like, oh, I just want to, like, I want to come on your face, or like, oh, did you dress yourself today, or you look like shit, or whatever. Like, those guys, I'm like, I'm not asked about that.
But the ones that dig deep.
The ones that dig deep and make it really personal. Like, well, thing is, the trigger in me, and again, I get loads of people saying, oh, you just seem really easily triggered. You know, you've got all this negative energy around you. Please let me help you with that. And you can do some NLP, or I can do some spiritual healing and whatever, and everything's going to be all right. Part of the trigger is around being called a liar. I think that is it. It's kind of like, if I was lying, fine. But I'm not. Like, I'm not making any of this up. Like, it is the truth. So I think that's been an interesting thing of the success, if you like, of, you know, what's it like running a 7-figure business? Mm. Well, some days it's like this.
Yeah, it's all. And I mean, like, so if we go back to the start, because you came into business, didn't you, as a holistic therapist?
Mm. You've done your research, John. I like it. Yes, I have. That was my first ever moment in my life. So I wasn't at all ambitious at all. So I wasn't interested in a career. And I wasn't at all entrepreneurial when I was younger. In fact, I was, so just dead briefly, I got moved up here at school because I was like dead clever or whatever. So I went to high school a year early, which obviously singled me out. Then I got off with someone's boyfriend at high school, which then made me a target for quite a severe amount of abuse. I didn't know it was a boyfriend at the time, blah, 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 blah. Still have to feel like I have to defend myself. Anyway, that, you know, that was when I was 12 or 13 or something. I got really severely bullied all through high school. I reacted to that by bunking off school, getting an older boyfriend, going and partying hard. This was in the 90s. So if any old like 90s ravers, particularly in the Northwest, it was the best time of my life. Had a very, very, very good time and partied very, very, very hard. And a combination of that and the bullying and just the mental health, I suffered really badly with anxiety, panic attacks, and agoraphobia, which it developed into, to the point where I couldn't leave the house. To which then I ended up in the Priory Hospital, which is like dead glamorous now. And it's quite glamorous and it's quite fancy, to be fair. It wasn't like one flew over the cookies, man. It was a bit like, I feel like being in the Ivy. I don't know, it was very, very posh. But anyway, very interesting. I wish I'd kept a diary like my dad told me to do. But anyway, I had a lot of fun in there in a weird way. So anyway, so then I came out of there still very poorly, but, you know, on the road to recovery. And I spent a lot of time throughout all of my life, really, a lot of time and money invested in my recovery. So I've done lots of things like, you know, psychological things. Then we've done all the hypnotherapy things, and then we've done all the spiritual things. So again, that in itself probably make quite a good book. Mm. Anyway, and then I got married quite young. So I got married at 23. Is ridiculous now looking back, seemed like a good idea at the time. Had my children quite young at 25 and 27, and then it was only when I was 30 or coming up to 30 what happened was, when I had the children, that's like a lot of women, it's like, I don't want to go back to work. I was working at the council, Right. Can't imagine me working at the council. My mum says now, like, oh, if you'd have stayed there, you'd be like head of the council by now. I'm like, oh my God, I can't think of anything worse.
37,000 a year.
Yeah. Or she says, like, oh, you could have been a teacher. I was like, I do teach people, Mum. She went, oh, I know, but you could have had all those holidays. I said, Mum, I have as many holidays as I want, remember? Yeah, anyway, she just can't, she just wishes she could describe what I do down the golf club, I think, that's all. Bless her. So I had my little children. My husband was a builder. We went into the recession and everything collapsed around me, really. So what happened was that when I first had Megan, my youngest.
Were you already running your holistic therapy business at this stage then?
2010 I was, yeah. So 2007 I set that up. Wow. So I was still married then, and I wanted to do something part-time so I didn't have to go back to work.
Sure.
And that was when I fell in love with business, really. I did my own branding, set up my own website, you know, all the stuff that everyone does.
Yeah.
And I now know you don't really need to do, but anyway. So I did all that stuff, and I really enjoyed that part of it as much as the treatments. And I did love doing the treatments. I was a reflexologist, I specialised in fertility and pregnancy treatment, so... Again, even then, I knew the power of niching.
Yes.
So I set it all up, and I didn't work for anyone else. I just sort of did my own thing. So I set my own like sort of room up and all this kind of stuff. And did my own advertising, got my own clients. Ashley from Coronation Street came and opened it for me because he was mates with my husband at the time. So that was quite cool. Like the paper. So I kind of straight away, even though I'd had no training, I never had any business coaches or anything like that. I was kind of like, oh, this makes sense. Like you've got to do something a bit different. To stand out, because there's a million holistic therapists.
Yes.
Well, there's only one like me who specialized in these things.
Yeah.
You know, I was most expensive from the get-go, and you know, I had celebrity endorsements. So the first time though, the first woman I remember to this day, she had a treatment, she gave me the money, and I remember holding like the £220 notes in my hand, even after she'd gone, just thinking, fuck, I made that happen out of thin air almost. You know, forget about all the money I'd invested in the actual business. I was like,
yes,
of course. I was like, oh my God, that's cash in my hand.
Yeah.
And it just felt, that was it. And it was almost like one of those pivotal moments in your life where I was like, oh, this is addictive. Like, I need to do more of this.
Yeah.
And it was only when my marriage broke down and I looked around at the aftermath, because we're in the middle of a recession. We'd had a building business, which we'd been propping up with our personal finances, and it was in the days of you can just self-cert for a mortgage, you can just get a loan in three clicks, you can just you can have whatever you want basically, as long as you can pay it back. That was the only caveat, which of course we couldn't pay back, so we ended up in lots of personal financial crisis like a lot of people in those days. And I had nothing to show for it. That was the worst thing, you know. I was like, I had no flash cars, not been holiday for years.
Yeah,
it was just literally just propping up paying it, you know, when you start paying off debts. And if anyone out there is paying off debts, my heart absolutely goes out for you, because I think of all the things that's happened to me, that was probably the worst, like being in debt and having, you know, debt collectors after you and just the phone always ringing and just having no money for any horrible, horrible, horrible feeling. And
how did you mentally get through that?
So the thing is, I put this on a Facebook post the other day, and it's funny how Facebook posts get a lot of grief, but actually some of it is, you want to put something out there because it's important to you. And this is what I put out the other day, and it was that success is a decision. And it's almost like, get to some point in your life where you know, so I was like 90 grand in debt. I've got two little kids under five. I've got, my marriage is over. I've got a good relationship with him, so that was okay. But, you know, and you're like, what am I going to do? You know, I mean, I'm 30 years old. My dad's taking me shopping, buying food for me. You know, and it's like, oh, nice one, Helen. Yeah. Well done. You know, and it's kind of like you have to make a decision that it's not going to be like this anymore. Mm. You can either choose, when you're in that kind of adversity, you've got two choices, haven't you? You either use it as an excuse to just go to pieces. And that was tempting.
Yeah.
Especially with my mental health, you know, it was tempting. I was like, oh, you know, and I don't know if anyone would have forget, like everyone would have, you know, blamed me. You know, I was kind of ticked a few boxes. I was like, oh, I could just have a breakdown again. I could do that. I could use it as a complete excuse to go to pieces, roll around, I don't know, drink wine all day, I don't know, like, you know, whatever was the easiest option. Or you can use it as a catalyst. Mm-hmm. Like, right, well, this is my rock bottom. This is what I'm going to do. and this is how I'm going to get out of it. So I did have some help from family initially. My uncle bought my house from me and rented it back to me, which obviously took a massive amount of pressure off me. So I have to caveat all this. Like, you know, I've got a very supportive, loving family that were never going to see me homeless.
Sure. Did you reach out to them or did they come to you? Because I think that's important too.
A bit of both. I had to go to my dad. That's not good, is it? So me and my dad are super close. And again, I remember this like it was yesterday. You know, I had to go with him with all the paperwork and I'd added it all up and I was like, Dad, I've got something to tell you.
I think that's
because he had no idea.
I think that's the important part. A lot of people, they'll just bury their head, they'll not actually go and try and get the help. And I think the fact that
first step anything, honestly, is acknowledgement. And I'd not open post for years. I'd not, you know, I was just, you know, so I went into a debt management plan and that kind of stuff. And some family helped me out with some stuff that was just, it was literally, I was going to be, you know, sent to prison on and that kind of stuff. So that was the first step. So I went to my dad who helped me and he went to my uncle who's, you know, he's a wealthy guy and he's helped me out. So that was it. But from that aside, it was kind of like, yeah, but that's fine in crisis, but what you can do for the rest of your life? You know, you can't, I've got no qualifications. I've got my GCSEs and I've got a GNVQ advanced in business studies.
Yes.
And an A in media A levels. That's it though. You know, so I've got no qualifications. I've got no ability. Like I say, the most I've ever got paid in a job is £20,000. And that was when I was working for a startup that had loads of money and they were just paying me. In fact, I they asked me what I wanted and I said 18 and they offered me 20. So that was the startup culture in those days, right? They went bust when Google brought out the first algorithm update. But anyway, it's another story.
So, I mean...
But like, I thought, what I'm going to do? Yeah.
You turned in... I mean, like, the kind of starting point for you, really, from the holistic therapy business is that you started to use social media, didn't you, to get business?
Yes, I did. So what happened was... I only gave up doing reflexology maybe a couple of years ago. I was still doing it right up until... Because a lot of my clients... customers they started when they were trying for a baby and I saw them having three or four babies, you know, so anyway, so I've only given it up quite recently, but I knew that I loved the marketing side of it and I'd always wanted to be in marketing. I always wanted to do marketing. I've always been interested in social media and I was quite isolated as well, so when I brought out my baby massage DVD, which again was like me 10 years ahead of the curve. Like I was like, everyone's going to download this in the middle of the night. We're going to be millionaires. It didn't happen like that.
Never does.
I've got the business plan somewhere. I need to dig it out because it was like, I'm basically going to be a millionaire in 5 minutes, but it didn't quite work like that. But I started using Twitter and I got, because I was quite isolated. I live in a small village. You know, my mental health wasn't great and stuff like that. And Twitter really opened up a big world to me, and I met some people that I'm still friends with now, and I got sort of semi-famous on Twitter in my niche, if that makes sense, you know, because I just loved it. So you can do it from home, it's free, you know, I didn't have to go anywhere. I live in like a little village in the north of England, so it wasn't really like I could get to a lot of stuff, and you know, people started wanting to go to events and sponsor me to go, and I just kind of thought, oh, this is a really good way of helping people with isolation but also selling loads of stuff. So I was making money from social media. And then other people started to ask me to do it for them through that world. So I used to do it. And I used to charge £250 a month and to do their Twitter and Facebook for them. And it was when that's when I really started to realize that I could do this as a business, as a full-time business.
So and then you grew
all of my stuff
to 9 staff.
All the stuff that I teach is stuff that I've done myself, which is, again, sort of links back to what you said at the beginning about people, charlatans. It's like, you know, I've had people come to me and say, I want to launch this thing. And I'm like, yeah, you can't because you've not got any experience in that. You don't believe it yourself. So you're never going to be able to sell it. That's why you can't sell it. It's not because your marketing's not right. It's because you're selling something that you can't stand by. Anyway, so I thought, well, to make this into a proper business, as in like not just like a few mates here and there, I need to make £2,500 a month to cover my and the children's costs. And again, I did a Facebook post about this the other day about it's £3,000 a month enough to live on.
What was the outcome of that, by the way?
Well, it was a mixed bag, which I kind of expected. And it's everything's viewed for your own context, isn't it?
Yes.
It's all right. Is £3,000 a month enough for you to live on now? Is not the question. Is £3,000 a month enough for you to live on? Was the question.
Yes.
Because I feel like there's a big market, big chunk in the market missing of helping people get from, I don't know what I'm doing online, to I'm making £3,000 a month. £3,000 a month is a lot of money.
Sure.
And we're so desensitized. Mm-hmm. Even people like me, who are like, oh yeah, like, you know, I pay myself cash into the bank, £10,000 a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy money. Yeah. I can't even spend it all. And that says something, I can't spend money. I do spend it all, but it's a struggle. You know, I have to buy useless shit.
Just to put some context in case people didn't catch it, who's listening. Helen posted onto one of, was it on your profile or one of the groups? Or?
Yeah, I do everything on my personal Facebook. Yeah, so follow me there. Everybody.
And basically the question was, was it 3,000 or 2,500?
3,000, I said, yeah.
Would £3,000 a month be enough to live?
Mm.
And obviously what we're talking about now is all the different responses, all the different answers that came back. Do you think though, Helen, that some people on there, because I did see the thread actually, some people on there saying, I couldn't live less than £10,000 a month. Do you think that they're living on that now, or they're just hoping that they're living on that?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think all the people that said, yes, it is probably, are probably living on less. All the people that say, no, it's not, I hope they're living on, I hope they've got the funds to do that and they're not living beyond the means. Mm-hmm. From my opinion, of course £3,000 a month enough to live on for one person and any dependents. And I say that out of my own experience. Would I be happy living on it isn't the question.
Of course.
Yeah?
Of course.
£10,000 is almost an obscene amount of money. Like, I'm not Mother Teresa, but like, I'm almost like I'm giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm donating to every charity I see because I can,
sure.
You know, and I find that's really important, but it's a crazy amount of money. So is £3,000 a month enough to live on? Yes, of course it is. But what happens is people get to making £3,000 a month online, be able to travel wherever they want, live wherever they want, not have to answer to anyone, not have to travel to work, not have to go to an office, and then they're thinking they're failing, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's sad, isn't it?
That's,
it's like, I'm not a success. I'm doing, unless I'm doing £10,000 or £20,000. Or in my world now, people are doing £100,000 a month, £100,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, but I just want people to get some focus back together, where £3,000 a month is a lot of money if you're living your life on your terms. You know, it's a great achievement.
Sure.
And I hate the fact that people are, you know, being made to feel like that's not difficult. So I mean, there's a lot of people who would love to be earning that who are pretending they're not as well.
Yes.
And that again is a shame. It's a shame.
Of course.
Because it's a really difficult way to live. If you're not being authentic online, it's really bad for your mental health. Really, really bad, because you're trying to live, you're living a lie, really.
What percentage would you say, I know this is going to be a complete guesstimation, but what percentage would you say are pretending online about how they live?
Oh. I'd say in my feed, excuse me, probably less than 20%.
Yeah.
Because I surround myself with people who are legit.
Right.
In the general online space, I hope it's not more than 50%, because it doesn't compute in my head, because I just don't do that.
Sure.
And it doesn't make any sense to me why you would do that.
Sure.
But I'm not a fan of this whole, you know, when your life's falling apart, like you have to document every bit of that as well. Like, it's not fake.
Sure.
But it's also
not
what people want to see.
Yeah.
Talking about your past vulnerabilities is fine. This is from a business point of view.
Of course.
Past vulnerabilities, yes, of course. Ups and downs general of business, absolutely fine. But if you are consistently showing up as a complete car crash of like mental health and, you know, finances and, you know, you can't get your shit together, that's fine. But do not try and teach other people, because it's just not going to work.
Of course.
And people say, I don't understand why I can't sell anything. It's because you're putting out this perception that you can't cope with life in general.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't be honest about what's going on, of course. But at the same time, just think about how do you want people to actually perceive you?
Yeah.
And it's like, so I talk about my success a lot. And I do that because I think it's really important for people to see that it's okay to talk about success, because we live in a culture where it's we're just all fucking weird about it. See, did you see Phil's thread about his car? So Phil Harrison, who works with me, so he's like my right-hand guy. He does all of my, he's my operations director. He does all my strategy. He does all, he does everything. He manages my team. He's incredible. Sure. Incredible. He's taken me from 200K to a million, definitely. And I like to take all the credit for myself because that's the kind of person I am. My ego's huge. But, you know, Phil's got to take at least some of it.
Yeah.
He put on a post about guys posing with a car and how it makes you feel if they're a mentor. And the money mindset on that thread was, I couldn't barely look at it.
Really?
People are like, oh, they're a dick, they're disgusting, they're shallow, they're this, they're that, they're the, you know, I'd never want to work with them, you know, they've got a tiny penis, they're this, that, the other, you know, and it was just like, I'd never work with someone like that. Our values don't align. I saw that quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because I don't know if everyone knows what car Phil's got or what he does. So Phil drives an Aston Martin. Something 11. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
It's absolutely fucking beautiful.
Sure.
I mean, he came to pick me up in it. It is an absolutely beautiful British made car that sounds like, I mean, I love cars anyway, but you know, it's just, I could go on about it all day. It's absolutely beautiful. He's just had it wrapped in matte black. So it's just, it's amazing.
Sure.
He's also a really nice guy. Who's got a lovely missus and a daughter. He's got excellent values. I'd never work with him if he didn't. You know, he's helped me take my business from 200K to a million. He's a really cool guy to hang out with. And you know what I mean? And it's like to see all those people saying that about basically him in a way.
Yeah.
So he's a business mentor. He's got a flash car. And suddenly all these people are going to judge him. And I was just like, look at yourself though. If you're going to judge somebody like that, like, but if it was a different story and it was me saying Phil's helped me to go from X to Y, suddenly people want to work with him.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing. So I talk about success all the time.
Yeah.
So I talk about challenges as well. I talk about being single quite a bit, just in the hope that really handsome men will direct message me on Facebook and ask me out. You know, everything I do is strategic. So
the success that you've had, How much of that success do you think hinges on the past story that you bring to the present so much?
Well, I think it gives it context. And bear in mind, like, I know my audience really well because
sure.
I'm a marketer and, I strategically build my audience to the right people. Mm. So the way that I do it is I'm completely me. So a lot of people say like, oh, you're really direct and you really no nonsense and you're really kind of in your face and you're like no bullshit. And I'm kind of like, am I? Because this is just me. Like, so it's interesting that people have that perception of me. I'm like, when I go on dates, Dan Meredith always says, just be a bit less you. Just dial it in a bit, Helen. So, and the backstory is important because I need to give people context. And also the mission is important. So I talk about the three things in tandem. So I talk about the backstory because every time I tell that story, it lands with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, always. And I know that for a fact because they message me and they say, I was listening to that podcast or I was watching your live or I was in your 5-day challenge. And when you said that, and it's usually around mental health, money, divorce, being a single mom.
Right.
When you said, or being bullied, that's quite common as well.
Yeah.
The agoraphobia as well. When you said that, then that gave me hope and it made me really, you know, I've had people, can you hear that in the background, by the way, talking?
Yeah.
I've had people message me and say, you're the only person I've ever met or seen who's recovered from agoraphobia. Because I got to travel the world now. And that alone, I was like, fuck, like gives me goosebumps because it's like,
yeah.
It's nothing to do with business. But if she could really can start to believe that she's not been out of the house for a couple of years and now she, you know, she can, that, and then to me, I've like my job's done on, you know. And then when people say I'm in debt and I feel like there's no way out, that when they see that and they see me living the lifestyle that I live now and being unapologetically happy about it, you know, like I love my life, everything about my life, you know, I love my lifestyle. I love all the good things that I get to do and I'm internally grateful for them because of my backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only when you've been in debt can you understand the feeling that you get of having a Christmas without thinking about money.
Mm-hmm.
or having a month where you don't check your bank account because you don't need to,
yeah.
or flying business class because you can.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, walking into the Rolex shop and buying a watch for cash, which is more money than you've ever spent or had ever spent before on a car. Yeah. You know, those things that trigger other people fill me with incredible amounts of joy, yeah. because of my backstory.
Of course.
And I want people to see that it's okay to enjoy,
sure.
your success. It's okay to work really hard and enjoy your money and enjoy your lifestyle. But they also get to see me doing it in a way that makes me happy. So they see the way that I work from anywhere. So the 5-day challenge, I do every evening. I do a live with wine. So it's me in my pajamas with my hair on my head, my glasses on, drinking Malbec on a Monday, lunch, like tea time. So yeah. My kids are in and out. You know, my kids are in and out. The kids are cooking the tea. Yeah. They're coming on camera, talking to people. Right. You know, it is just my life. I've set up my business, so it's my life, mm-hmm. and my business fits into my life. And yeah. people are totally inspired by that.
How did you come to terms with that being accepted? Because a lot of people would question whether that's, I don't want to say professional, but probably professional, but also like having your kids walking in short, having things like, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these things are
especially the way Megan dresses.
Yeah.
Especially the way Megan dresses. She dresses like she's, I don't know, about to be on a pop video or I don't know.
But how do you come to terms with this, that it's acceptable? Because clearly it is. It's your world. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So again, this all comes down to decisions. Yeah. So I make decisions in my business. And the decisions that I make are, this is how I show up in my business. This is how I involve my family on the business.
Yeah.
This is the risk I'm prepared to take.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So everything is risk and reward. So yeah, having my children on camera, I mean, they're teenagers, not babies, but even if they were babies, they'd probably be on camera. So because the reward from me modeling that my children are part of my life and part of my business, and they are on camera in front of strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're on camera talking to me. We're just talking like our normal family life. The reward of that is multiple. So it means that I can live my life and my business fits into it. So therefore, that's why it's happening. But the other thing is that also inspires other people that they can do that as well. That's okay.
Yeah.
And it also means that people who think that is unacceptable, yeah? So the people who say, and they tell me, mm-hmm. I can't concentrate because you keep talking to your kids. I didn't realize you're going to be drinking every night. Are you an alcoholic? I don't approve. You know, like I said at one point, something like, life's too short to wear a bra. Something, like, as in, I've come home from work and I've got changed and I'm in my pajamas.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, that's disgusting. It's far too much information. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so all of this feedback I get, you know, it's not perfect. I'm a swearing, so I get a lot of feedback about my swearing.
Sure.
You know, we don't like swearing, don't like you drinking, don't like the fact that you let your children, you know, you put your children at risk by putting them on camera. You know, all this kind of feedback I get, but I do it anyway.
Sure.
And that's the most empowering thing, because the people who hate that or don't like that or are offended or disgusted by it are not my people.
Of course.
So if I try to, I could amend everything to try and suit everyone.
But you can't please everyone.
I don't want to. They're not my people.
Yeah.
So if we were like met in the street and we met at an event and I was swearing as I do, like it's in my normal like sort of language, and my children swear now, obviously that's just part of it. Even though I keep telling them off, like this doesn't make any difference. In fact, Megan said to me, she went, I'm never going to stop swearing. So I don't know why you keep going on about it. And I'm like, she's right, probably.
Yeah.
You know, we'd probably meet at a dinner party. You'd decide that I was a bit uncouth and I wasn't your kind of person and you'd move away at dessert. And that is fine because I am not going to change as a person.
Yes.
And I refuse to change as a person.
Good.
You know, it's the same in business though. Mm. Like the feedback we get, we are going to make a big post around some of the complaints we get on the help desk because they're hilarious. So I upset a lot of people a lot of the time. So a lot of people don't like a lot of the way that I do business.
Have you always been quite strong-willed in the sense that you've risen above it, or is it something? Have you got a technique that you do? Is, you know,
just fucking do it.
Yeah.
It comes down to risk and reward. So the risk of all of those things and living, doing my business the way I want, live my life. The risk is that people won't like it and they won't buy from me. Yeah. Sure. the reward is the people love it, absolutely love me, and will buy anything from me.
Sure.
This is how. So there's a commercial gain to being yourself, and this is what I think people struggle with. Yeah. So the more you are, the more unapologetically you, and you refuse to change.
Yeah.
The more the people that love you for that, and love you for the way you are, will just fall madly in love with you and will buy anything and everything from you, be your biggest fans and your biggest supporters and your biggest referrers. Yeah. They become like your super fans. I think there's a book, the Seth Godin book, isn't there, about 1,000 fans. They become your super fans, and that is all you need in business.
Yeah.
People who hate you, it's a couple of things. People that hate you and just disappear, great, because you're never going to get them to love you. So they're always going to be like a thorn in your side anyway, even if they're giving you money. So when I talk about value, joy, profit, which is one of the founding principles of my work. So value, joy, profit is, in your work, where do you add the most value? Where do you get the most joy from the work you do and the people you work with? And where do you make the most profit? And that's how we strip out everything else from a business, just focus on this one thing, selling one thing.
Value, joy, profit. Yeah.
It has to balance, otherwise you've not got a business. You've got either a mental breakdown or you've got a financial breakdown, one or the other.
Yeah.
So it's so important. So people like that who don't like you, I'm never going to bring you joy, because you're just not going to have the right vibe. Now, I do say to people, you don't have to like me to leverage me. So you can hate me, but you can still get rich from me, which I would do just despite me if I didn't like me. So you can either be right or you can be rich. You know, as I say these things all the time, which obviously just annoy people even more. But people who hate you and talk about you, they're still spreading the message, they're still spreading the word. And for everything they hate about you, there'll be someone listening who loves that about you.
Yes.
So they will go. So the feedback, I get overwhelming feedback. People love me because I'm myself, I involve my family, I'm dead real, I'm dead normal, I'm a hot mess of a human, and that's obvious. You only have to follow me on Instagram to see that. I don't talk about LinkedIn on Instagram, it just follows my life, and it's absolute load of rubbish. You know, it's, I always say, like, this is the non-glamorous side of seven-figure entrepreneurship is my Instagram stories, because it's just basically me just bumbling around, like, trying to live my life. Yeah, so yeah, it's at Helen Pritchard online, so you can find me there. So like, the people who tell me all the time, they love this stuff. Like, you look at my LinkedIn, right, LinkedIn testimonials, I've got about 250, 300 of them. Nearly all of them say, we love Helen because she's no nonsense, sweary, northern, direct, no bullshit. Yeah. So I know for a fact that more people love me for it than hate me for it. And I just want to, alienate as many people as possible. So I'm just left with the core of people who love me, and I'm not afraid to say it. Yeah. So this is funny. So I don't know if you do much about Facebook groups. So I run a Facebook group called Helen Pritchard's LinkedIn Marketing Group. Now, we had to put my name on it, and I'll tell you why. So it used to be called the LinkedIn Marketing Group. I think we've got about 12,000 people in there at the moment. And it's a dictatorship, right? Okay. In my group, right? It's got this is how I suggest you use LinkedIn. So basically it's got free training in there. So all that's in there is like the pinned post. And of that, we say, we don't want to hear if you think there's a better way to use LinkedIn. We don't want any other LinkedIn trainers in here trying to steal our clients.
Yeah.
We don't want anyone to argue with me. You might not think my way is the right way, but I believe my way works, and I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I don't want to hear your feedback. I don't, you know, it's brutal. But people love it. They're like, oh, this is great. This is like Helen's house, her rules. I barely have to moderate it. People just behave themselves in it.
I mean, it's part of the human psychology that we like being called out on the things that we struggle with or what we make excuses.
People love
it. We love it. We come back for more.
Yeah, right. So I attract lots of really strong characters who are like, I thought I was pretty strong, but I feel like you're going to tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. So people, like, naturally, we love it. We love being told. We love to have boundaries and love to be told what to do, which is why my stuff is so effective.
Yeah.
And in the 5-day challenge, I say to people, I don't want your feedback unless it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your positive feedback makes me feel good as a person. Your negative feedback makes me feel like shit because I'm not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
So if you think Live with Wines at 2 hours are far too long and you can't understand why anybody would ever sit and listen to me ramble on for 2 hours, there's 10 people who love them.
Sure.
So you go and go and join someone else's LinkedIn group. Yeah. And in my group, we'll do things my way. And you don't like it, that's cool. Like, you don't have to be in it. And I just say to people, look, if you don't like it, leave. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear your feedback.
Coming into like the Facebook Live, the content, because you do a lot. You work incredibly hard. And that's not me.
See.
Well, that's not me.
No, but that's you under a massive misconception, which is good, right? Okay. So you think I work really hard.
Okay. Are you saying you don't?
Why do you think I was late this morning?
Okay. Because you wanted
to. Yeah, exactly. Because I'm just lying in bed doing nothing.
Lying in bed. Yeah. The point I'm trying to get to, though, is that it looks like you work incredibly hard.
And, it looks like I work very hard, but I don't, yeah.
And I imagine you do. You know, you will work hard. Maybe not incredibly as hard as it looks like you're working then, but I guarantee you're working hard. You don't do seven figures without working hard.
Phil works hard. I don't know if I work hard. I'm just a show pony. I just turn up and do like my special tricks. So
you do that. You work to your level of hard. You're a mom. You know,
yes.
You're running this business. And I don't like the word work-life balance. I don't like that phrase at all. I don't think.
No, I don't, because there's no such thing really, is there?
But how do you make it work being a mom, being a business person and doing all the activity as well?
So I tell you how I make it work by being a mum, by being the most laissez-faire, laid-back parent ever, and I just let them do whatever they want. So that's took a load of pressure off.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, as long as you're safe,
yes,
and you're not really taking the piss, like you can pretty much do whatever you want. So, like, I don't get caught up in things like homework. Don't bother. That's their job. I mean, they are teenagers, but I'm going to say this is a pretty common theme. So, like, I don't get involved in homework. They do that themselves. I don't cook for them anymore. They do that themselves. You know, they've got my Apple Pay, so they do all their own shopping. Right. They do all their own. They order stuff, like they order from the co-op for food that they want to eat. Sure. You know, they order their own takeaways if they need them. They get themselves around. So, you know, they've got my Uber account. So financially, it helps a lot when you've got money, because like they can just do whatever they want. They buy their own clothes, you know, and that kind of stuff. So from that point of view, from a parent point of view, it just leaves us with the fun stuff, which is like hanging out and like having a sing song or just chilling out. So we're going away today, actually. We're going away at 4. We're going away to a cottage for the weekend. Yes. I'm going to force them to spend some time with me and play some games and stuff, which they'll hate. But so from a parent point of view, and they're girls and they know that I'm a single mum, and if I don't work, they don't eat. So they've always known that mum's on the phone. When mum's on the phone, it's not just, well, sometimes it's scrolling through Tinder, but, you know, I don't say that, you know. And the thing is, when they were little, I was always working on my phone. So I'm a big fan of this whole, like, don't mum shame people because they're on the phones in the play centre or at the park, because they're probably working. You know, so I used to get the eye shame all the time. Yeah. You know, I used to hate doing school run because I'd be sending emails. I used to work very, very hard on the thing. In the first couple of years of this business, I worked crazy hard. The whole hustle thing, I'm a big fan, because you've got to do what you've got to do. You know, and people come to me all the time and say, oh, I want a life like yours. I want to be able to do what I want when I want. I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, go and do the 2 years of graft. And I mean, it was hard graft. Yeah. It was massive sacrifices, time with my family, time with friends, you know, eating, sleeping stuff, like proper Gary Vee shit. And I hate the anti-hustle movement. Because people say, oh, I want to spend time with I want to have 6 weeks off at summer and be present with my children. I'm like, babe, you can't even feed your kids. Like, you can't have 6 weeks off. Like, you're tripping. So, you can't have 6 weeks off. Yeah. You can't be present with your children all the time. Stick them on the iPad and get some work done. And then you can have a great life with them later. Yeah. But you can't do this. And again, going back to what we were saying about charlatans, it's not as much a charlatan thing, but people are selling courses about...
Are we going to say exactly the same then? Exactly the same.
It's bullshit. Yeah. The anti-hustle movement is the worst thing that's ever happened to business. So people who are selling a course on anything to do with anti-hustle, like, and I see this a lot, and I feel triggered, like it's a bit of a snide thing on me, because I'm always like, you got to be posting all the time everywhere to sell. And people are like, are you being told you need to post everywhere to sell? ? Yeah. You know, and I'm like,
it's just a pattern interrupt though, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, well, I can help you. I'll show you how it's quality over quantity, bullshit. Yeah. You know, how you can do this and this instead of that and that, bullshit. Sure. You know, and then the only person getting rich is the person selling the course.
Of course.
Because you can't build an online business without working hard and being present.
How do you manage to be everywhere and everywhere at the same time? Do you schedule messages?
So when, like I say, in the early days, it was just me. My thumbs were falling off. I was just on my phone constantly, all the time. And this is kind of like I like today. So today's the last day of my launch. And I like, this is when I go into like old Helen mode. And it's like, there's no limits. I'll post today, probably about 40, 50, 60, probably 100 times somewhere, different platforms. Okay. And I love that, because I like the energy of it. Mm. and people who say, oh, you know, you shouldn't post so much, you'll alienate your audience, people get sick of selling. I'm like, you're broke, I'm rich, just trust me, the more you post, the more you sell. Anyway, so that, but now it's different, you see. So now I don't have to work hard. So my ultimate goal has always been to have diary zero. So I don't want to have anything in my diary. So at the moment, the only things I have in my diary are podcasts, right, and lives, because they're the only things that I have to do.
Yes.
So what I've done over the last 3 years is, as I've been able to afford to, and usually just before I could afford to, is I outsource everything at home and at work.
Yeah.
Let me go through a little list of the things that I outsource at home, right? This is so funny. This will make, if you've got women in your audience, this will trigger them. So, and I'm telling you now.
Do it.
Deep down, you want this. Right, okay, so I don't do any laundry. So so my mum does all my housekeeping now, but if my mum didn't do it, I'd pay somebody else. But as part of that housekeeping, she takes the laundry to the laundry service, and they're like magic. They wash it, they iron it, they fold it, and they hang it, and then mum picks it up and bring it back. Cost me about 30 quid a week.
Brilliant.
Game changer.
Yes.
Game changer.
Brilliant.
I don't do any cleaning. So my mum does all my cleaning, but she also does the housekeeping, which is like things like dishwashers, clean, change the bedding, sorting the kids' clothes out. And if I didn't have my mum, I'd just pay somebody else. Like I pay her like a full living wage to do it. Just yeah. My mum does it because she loves me. But, you know, I pay her a full living wage to do it. So that's housekeeping we're definitely doing. I have a chauffeur. So I still have a driving phobia and I don't like driving, but also I quite like drinking now and again. So I have a chauffeur that takes me pretty much to all my business meetings if I have to go to them, which I don't, which again, I've tried to eliminate massively. And he takes us to all the gigs that we go to. He takes me and the kids away when we go down to Wales and stuff. And we've got loads of kids and bags and stuff to go in the car. So chauffeur, again, takes me to the airport every time an airport run. Massive, not even that much difference to paying for taxes.
Yeah.
Recommend it for everyone. So I have a chauffeur, I have a gardener, I have a window cleaner. I have somebody who valets my car every 2 weeks. I have somebody who does obviously like my nails, my hair, my teethy things and all that kind of stuff. Outsource everything, my travel. And a lot of my home stuff, I delegate to my VA. So I've got 3 VAs.
Right.
So in work, I delegate everything to do with. So I don't look at emails. Yeah. I don't read emails. So Lisa reads my emails.
Was that a hard transition to let go?
No, it was easy peasy. It's fantastic. So all my emails are read by someone else, and Lisa just sends me a Facebook message with like the highlights on. Yeah. All my inboxes are read by people and replied to if they can reply to them. If it's just something like when's your next course or something like that. And deleting dick pics and that kind of thing, but only once I've had a good look at them.
Once you look
at them. I have, yeah, of course. VAs manage all my personal stuff. So all like my daughter goes to the hospital regularly. Like she organises all that. She organises all my like my dental appointments. I'm in the process of having all my teeth sorted out. So I feel like I'm at the dentist all the time.
Sure.
So she organises all that. She organises, books all my hotels, travel and that kind of stuff. I have Paula who manages my international travel. So you can see like it's just somebody else does my Facebook ads. Somebody does.
It's systemised. So
I don't do anything though. So I don't have anything to do.
Sure.
Yesterday, I mean, my diary had I had a lunch with a friend yesterday, that was in my diary, and then I had a dental appointment and then I had a massage. That was it. Today I've got this, and then I've got a call with somebody off LinkedIn at 12. That's it. Like, you know, next week, like if I've got more than one appointment in my diary, my head falls off. So someone else writes all my content as well.
Content that you're sending out then, are you physically sending out your content yourself or is that your team as well?
So Georgina does my writing for me. So I do a live every day, pretty much somewhere. It's either in one of my groups or on my Facebook page. I try and do a live video on Facebook page. They're all now getting repurposed for YouTube and that kind of stuff. So YouTube's a big part of our strategy this year. So I do a live every day. Georgina takes that usually and spins it out into written posts and posts them. So I copy and paste my posts again.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only marketer will tell you to do this, but trust me, it still works. It's fine. The same post goes on my personal page, my business page, in my group and on LinkedIn every day. So that's why you'll see something written for me every day. I do a live most days and sometimes share that into my groups. Okay. Do a live on LinkedIn a few times a week now. I've kind of come down, just because it takes a long to upload bloody videos, but anyway.
That's a LinkedIn thing though, isn't it? Because it's the only platform that struggles with video to be uploaded.
Yeah, it does. It's a pain in the ass, but it still works fantastically. So definitely do lots of video on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And then podcasts. So I've been on about 300 plus podcasts,
right.
And done guest experts and things like that. So that's the only thing, obviously, that needs me and needs to be in my diary.
So,
but again, I don't organise any of it. Lisa organises it.
I mean, I run a Facebook group as well. I mean, we've not got anywhere near 12,000 members, but it's a nice active community. And I said the exact same thing this morning, you know, like outsource everything. Like just
everything.
Get rid of everything. Don't do anything. Like, and I was smirking earlier on right at the start of our conversation when you were saying about when you first started with the Holistic business, about like when you started doing your own branding and the websites and stuff. And your words actually said, like, we know that we don't need to do any of that.
No, we don't.
Like, when,
it's the last thing we need to be doing.
When did the realization have come to you that you are wasting time doing that?
I think having just recently done branding, so bear in mind we're at that place where we're like, we can afford to do it, and we got, you know, done branding, it's like, doesn't really make that much of a difference. And I know there's lots of branding experts who will be like, sure. But the beauty is you don't need it, because most people's businesses online is personal branding. You know, and it's me.
Yes.
So I know it's not always me that's writing everything and posting everything and sharing everything, but fundamentally it comes back to me.
Sure.
So that's like a curse and a blessing, I suppose. Mm. But it makes it super easy, because doing Facebook Lives every day is easy.
Sure.
And it's free.
Yes.
And you don't need branding on that. It is what it is.
It's just you.
And I think the more scrappy you are, the more authentic you are anyway. So we talk about social proof a lot. We talk about it in the challenge, and I use it a lot. So because I've got loads of people who are like, oh my God, I've just got my first lead from LinkedIn and I've not even paid you anything yet and all that kind of stuff. Like really tangible. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them now, probably thousands of screenshots of messages like that. So when I go to use social proof, or my team do, I get them to use screenshots.
Yes.
Because to me, screenshots are totally authentic, because that's how you would communicate with a friend.
Of course.
Yeah? If you're like, oh my God, look what this guy's just said to me.
Yeah.
You wouldn't top and tail it with your branding and write testimonial on the top, would you? You just send it as it was. So branding for me, a lot of the time, is procrastination.
Mm.
It's like, oh, well, I'll put some social proof out, but first I need some templates and I need to do this and I need to do that. And all that. You can do all that down the line, but actually, fundamentally, I think you sell more by being scrappy.
Yeah.
Because people are like, they get it. Like, that's how. So I just do screenshots and share them and say, oh, I've got this message today and it makes me feel like this, this, and this. And that is genuinely a social media post. Yeah. I mean, I teach it as a strategy, but I teach it because I've done it myself for years and I know it works.
It works, yeah.
Totally. So I only teach what I know.
And that's you can't get any more authentic than that, can you? You know, like, you only teach what you know.
That's it. Like, I mean, I'm in a mastermind now, and I have a business coach, but I never had any of that at the beginning. You don't need all that. It's bullshit. That's just stuff people are trying to sell you. You need money. You need cash in the bank, which is why I'm so proud of the 5-day challenge and the fact that 90% of people never buy from me. Because I'm like, good. Because that means all those people have got what they need to go and make money. They won't all use it, but some of them will, and some of them do. And I know this for a fact because they tell me.
Yeah.
You know, I've got all these leads, I've got this cash in the bank, I've made X amount of money, and I've never paid Helen a penny. All I did was the 5-day challenge. Yeah. That is what keeps me, you know, sleeping well at night, you know, on my money bag, you know, my bed stuffed with money or whatever. Yeah. It's because of the impact that I'm having and the amount of people I'm helping for free, because 10 years ago me would never have been able to give me 1,500 quid.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. And that's another reason why I give so much out for free. You can definitely get enough from me to go and make money, 100% guaranteed. Do you do a challenge or do my free group. That's so important is because you will never hear me trying to overcome a price objection ever.
Okay.
Yeah. I stand by that because, again, going back to the industry, if I see one more person say, oh, it's because they don't value it, or because your marketing's not right, or because, you know, they're not prioritizing your course over what eating.
Clearly wrong.
Yeah, exactly. If people aren't dying to buy from you, you know, they're either dying to buy from you, but they can't afford it, or they're not dying to buy, or they're dying to buy when they bought it. Hello? Did you want me? That's the difference, you know. So, yes, your marketing's not right if people are coming to you and then saying, I really want it, but I don't want to pay for it. But if they're saying, I can't afford it, then why don't we believe them?
Yeah.
We don't, if you, it's like discovery calls. Like, I don't agree with them either. And I don't teach people to do them. In fact, I think it's the worst thing that's ever happened to the industry. Because if you don't, if you're not confident in your offering, to A, put your prices out there publicly, and B, be able to give enough value so that when people are ready to buy, they're coming to buy from you anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't need to get on a discovery call. 15 minute chat should be absolutely plenty.
Yeah.
Discovery calls are for people who aren't confident in either the pricing or their program.
Right.
In my opinion.
Your opinion, yeah, totally. Do you know, so, I mean, coming back, 2019,
yes.
seven-figure year in sales orders.
Yes, in sales orders, yes.
Sales orders. Previous year, top end, 200,000. What was the biggest thing that changed?
Well, the biggest thing that changed? Definitely mindset. Right. But I hate that word because it's kind of like a bullshit word that doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
A bit like strategy.
Sure.
But I think setting, so I'm a big law of attraction super fan, right. Really spiritual and all that kind of, all that jazz anyway. So at the beginning of the year, I said, I want to do £1 million this year. Now, I went to my mastermind and Mitch Miller, if you don't follow him, I suggest you do, but I can only apologize what you see when you do. He's not for everyone. He put a post up the other day and I was like, Mitch, I keep sending people your way and now you've got something that says like fuck children or something. I was like, I don't know. But he's a master at copywriting, so right. Definitely follow him. So he's in my mastermind and we sat around the table and we meet once a quarter and we fly. I think we were in New Orleans at this point. He said, why do you want to do £1 million a year? I was like, for my ego, Mitch, obviously. You know, I want to do it for my ego and I want to do it for my positioning.
Yeah.
I want to be the £1 million a year person. Mm-hmm. You know, so I can inspire more people that they'll at least be able to make $2,000 or $3,000 a year if they do what I tell them to do.
Yeah.
And he's like, right, that's fine, then we can do that. So I put it out there publicly, I did all of my anchoring stuff, which is stuff I learned from Denise Duffield Thomas. Also follow her if you don't already. She's the money mindset guru to me. Mm-hmm. So she does anchoring, so I do anchoring. So I set my £1 million a year target. I wrote it on the mirror where I do my makeup every morning. I put it on post-it notes all around my life. So in the car, in the bathroom, on my computer, I changed my computer password to a version of £1 million plus, and my phone password and all that kind of jazz, which some people will be like, oh, it's a load of rubbish. And I'm like, I don't care whether you think it's rubbish or not. I'm just saying, throw everything at it. And it seems to work. So that was one thing, was like really getting myself in that energy of what would my life be like and what would my life look like and who will benefit when I do that. Because I'm always motivated by security because I've been in some really insecure places mentally, financially, you know, emotionally. So like security is really, really important to me.
Yeah.
So £1 million running through the business means I can pay myself 10 grand. Yeah. A month, which means that, you know, I can have savings, which means that I can buy my house back, which means that, you know, me and the children will be secure and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And that no matter what happens, you know, we'll be okay. Because like anyone in business, when you're cash rich, like I am, you're always aware that you need to start investing in income generating assets because, you know, something happens to me. Yeah. Something happens to me or LinkedIn falls over or, you know, there's more likely some scandal involving me and no advice from me. That's what I always say. I'm like, oh, what if there's a scandal? So I was like, yeah, so if something happens, like LinkedIn stops working. Although I think I'd be fine if LinkedIn disappeared tomorrow, I think I'd be fine because I teach basic business fundamentals. So I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, my business collapses, I get hit by a bus, or like I said, more likely there's some kind of scandal involving me. And then people decide they don't want to buy from me. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why I had to meet my PR agency about that. And they were like, what are you worried about? And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm the kind of person that's going to end up. Yeah, just now I've got an audience. I feel like, oh, I definitely fuck it up somehow. But anyway, we'll see. That is not a prediction, hopefully.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I set this goal of a million. And I did. I anchored it all in. But then, like anything, you've still got to put a plan in action. You've still got to take action every day, right? So we knew what we had to do. And fundamentally, it was just more of what we were doing, but at a bigger scale.
Sure.
So we invested in things. You know, we changed teams. So we got, there's a few people that left and a few people that came in. And it was almost like it was a natural evolution of the team. You know, it's kind of like they were scrapping up to 200K people, which was brilliant. And we were really close. They're up to £1 million. Plus business, it has to run more like a business. So, I mean, I am close to my team, but I'm not as, you know, Phil's manages them, and you know, and it's, I'm not as emotionally involved, and we've got things like SOPs just to make it more of a viable business. And I do say sometimes, you know, I do feel like I'm running a business now, like I'm the CEO of a business, rather than, you know, it's just me getting up every day, you know, doing my best. And you know, I winged it through to 200k on my own. I'm not, you know, I'm still very proud of that. But yeah, like having Phil in place has made a huge, huge difference. Brilliant. And the profitable challenges, you know, that was the big game changer strategically for us.
The challenge.
Challenges for me, and I mean, I have got a course on it, so disclaimer alert, but 5-day challenges for me, were a massive game changer for me, which is why we teach them. Because I think they're a huge impact for people who are ready to go to that next level. I don't recommend them for people who are just starting out, but ready to next level, 5-day challenges are huge.
Do you think 5 is the optimal time? Because you see some for 7, you see some for 3.
Again, I teach what I know, and the way that we teach it is very specific. So things like, yes, it's 5 days. This is when you let people into the group. This is how you set up your separate group. This is how you set up the Facebook bot messenger up. This is when you announce your, you know, your upsell. This is how you close people out. This is how you do your calls. You know, so it's a very systemized process now, and it is because we've done them. We do two a quarter. We do 8 a year. So we did 8 last year. And we're used to doing it at volume. So 3,500 people to us was easy.
Yeah.
It was easy because everything's, it's such a well-worn
systems in place.
Yeah. But I've mentored people through it before. I don't do it anymore, but I have done. And Phil and I have got this course on it, and it's incredible because Phil's written 90% of it. Right. I just did a few bits of it. It's even down to like Facebook ads. It's, hey?
You just turned up.
I just turn up and do my thing, right? But I ran the first few on my own, so I kind of know what it's like to do everything in a challenge as well. And it'll break you. It'll break you if you're not careful. Sure. People have got no idea what going to run in a challenge like that. No idea what happens at the back end, financially, emotionally, systems wise, team wise. Yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted, but if you're ready for that next level, it's fantastic.
So you run that all through your group, and then your course is, what is it? Is it, it's an online course, is it? Or like?
Yeah, so we don't run the 5-day challenge in the group. We have a separate group for that, and that's a really important thing to remember. That's why I see most 5-day challenges fall on their ass, is because they try and run them in the free group, and that's not how it works. Sure. There's loads of reasons why, but anyway, so... So we were sort of investing $6,000 to $8,000 in Facebook ads and selling 200 to 300k on the back end of a challenge. I mean, this is stuff that reminds me of the old, like the early days of things like Facebook marketing or Google ads, like the conversions and the ROI is, I've been in digital marketing for a long time, is insane, and it won't be like that forever. So you've got to make hay, like now's the time to do it. But it's a game changer for the business for me, because that's how you get complete strangers into Raven fans. That's the only way I could see you could possibly do it. Things like the old days, we are going to look at new things like webinars and running challenges without me in and that kind of thing, just to see if we can still get the conversions without my input. And we'll test it a few different ways, because you know, the plan for me is to move out of doing 5-day challenges. I mean, I can't do live with wines for 2 hours every night forever. You know, I love it, but at the same time, from a business succession point of view, I don't want to be doing it forever either. So there's a few things that we're looking at definitely for this year. And webinar is definitely one of them. But again, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it in a way that disrupts webinars, because, or the best I can, without using that word, because it's a bit of a wonky word, sorry, but I'm not going to be doing the perfect webinar format under any circumstances. You know, I'm not going to do that value stack upsell. It's live, it's not live, ask the questions, it's not happening.
Pretend to be live.
We're going to do it, we'll do it in a different way, definitely. But yeah, that, I mean, that's quite exciting. I mean, it's the holy grail, isn't it, is to sell without having to put any, you know, at the moment I've extracted myself out of every bit of my business apart from the bits that definitely need me.
That need you, right? Okay, that's good advice for people, really solid advice.
Yes.
That's
the bit you should be good at. You're never going to be good at reconciling your bank statements, are you? Unless you're an accountant.
Yeah, of course. What would you say has been the biggest challenge that you faced in the entirety of the 3 years that you've gone into this online world where you are?
That's like a good question that I probably should have expected, but I'm just trying to think of the right answer without just sounding like I'm saying the same thing as everyone else would say. I suppose the biggest challenge really is people, and I include myself in that. Running an online business is such an emotional thing on so many levels. And I think that's what people maybe don't realize. You have to build up your own emotional resilience massively when you run a personal brand, partly because of haters. I mean, I talk about it a lot and I am very resilient to it, but it's definitely a muscle that you get better at. You know, fundamentally, if you've got people being horrible to you all day online, it's difficult, you know, from a mental health point of view. Then you've got teams of people who are all people with their own things. And then you've got people like, so mine and Phil's relationship. So he's amazing at what he does. I'm really hard work. So he has to manage me. Like, it's almost like husband and wife thing where, you know, we do fall out, you know, and we are very sensitive to each other's like emotions around things. Like the same thing. I'm very emotional and moody anyway, like as a person. And for me, whether it's right or wrong, like we're talking about work-life balance, there's no definition between business and personal for me.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, this is business. It's not personal. It's like, it's all personal.
Right.
It's all personal. So it's like an extension of your own emotions. So you've got massive highs and you've got massive lows. Mm. And you need to really be on top of your personal self-care, which I know is a buzzword. Just makes me giggle.
Yeah,
but it is important. So there's things that I put in place that I probably wasn't doing a year ago, which is I have regular Reiki, or it's more than Reiki, but anyway, so it's more like a spiritual healing experience. So I have that every 2 weeks. I went for a massage yesterday. I go for massages regularly. You know, I need to pick up my reflexology again. Mm-hmm. I've started going to the gym. Sure. I've started drinking green shit. Like, there's only, as soon as you get older, because I'm a party girl, you know, like I've abused my body all my life, really, you know, and I've got away with it. And it's almost like, I don't know, it's that the last 3 years has kind of been, right, this is serious. Like I've built a serious business, you know, as much as it's fun, and it is fun. It's a serious business. I've got 2 children to care for. I've got, you know, I'm 40 years old. My parents are getting older. You know, I've got a responsibility and I've got to keep myself well, and I've got to keep myself in the right headspace so I can continue to do this. Like, the responsibility is, you know, it kind of weighs heavy sometimes. And then I'm like, I'm just pissing about posting stuff online. This is the easiest job in the world. So I think that seesaw of the emotions around even being in this space is probably the big thing. And it can get tiring. And the things with social media, like, I love social media. I think the whole social media detox thing is bollocks.
Yeah.
As is the like screen time thing is bollocks. It's like, it's just the world that we live in.
Yeah.
You used to get on a train, everyone would have a paper. Now we get on a train, everyone's on the phones. It's like,
it's the same.
I don't understand it. It's like screen time with your kids. I'm like, so how much screen time do your kids have? I'm like, they self-regulate just like I do.
Yeah. But that's the world they're going into, so give them more, because otherwise they're going to be starting behind.
I know. I've seen someone like, oh, my 13-year-old's only allowed an hour a day. I'm like, oh, God. You'll think you're going to get bullied for that. Like, don't do that. That's mean. You know, I mean, I don't want to get into debates about parenting. That's one thing I will say, because I hold my hands up. I'm not the best at it. I'm literally winging that every single day. But it's like, this is the world that we live in. But we live in also, you've got to have that gratitude. Like, this stuff was not an opportunity available to us 5 years ago. Never mind. You know, we live in an incredible time where opportunity and technology is met.
Yeah.
And everybody has got the ability to make money by selling their knowledge in a way that has impact.
Yeah.
And they make money and they can live a lifestyle that they like, and they don't have to do all the things that we used to have to do to get money. And you can live an incredible life, and people need to embrace it rather than fighting against it. And think, you know, instead of rallying against it, look at yourself and think, well, how could this be possible for me?
Yes.
A lot of my success, I think, has come from me asking myself those questions. Like, my first big success really was like, how can I earn $1,000 in an hour? And that's when I started doing paid webinars. So everyone used to do free webinars. And I was like, I'm going to charge people. So I used to charge people £49 for a seat and then upsell them to a £99 at checkout. And I'd deliver loads of value, but I was getting like 25 people on a call and I was like, I'm making £2,500 an hour here. Like, so just mindset wise, asking those questions, it's like, how can I make £1 million in a year? How can I sell something online that, I mean, one of the big things that I talk about is my £99 thing, which is how I started, which was by showing people how they could use LinkedIn in an hour online on Zoom, recording it and charging people £99 for it. And I don't do it anymore, obviously. But, you know, the £99 thing is one of the bonuses that you get with the mastermind, because I think it's such a wonderful way for people to get into working online. Yeah. You know, how can I help people online face-to-face, strategically, in an hour, you know, listen to their problems and then give them a solution on almost anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's almost anything you could teach, like business or personal. Like people want... Yeah. You know, they want people's expertise, and if you've got it, you can give it to them without having to set up a big business, without having to run a course, without having to do a 5-day challenge, without having to have a free group. Just that's how I started. I did hundreds of £99 things, and it gives you cash in the bank. It gives you an incredible insight into your ideal client avatar, which you probably would never get by using your imagination. It gives you tons and tons of social proof. It gives you confidence in what you're doing. You know, there's no negatives to having a £99 thing. Some people are past it in their business, but sure. For the majority of people I meet, it's such a good way. Even if you've got a high ticket thing, then just think, well, I just need to do 10 £99 things this week and convert two of those into my high ticket thing. There's your business model.
Yeah.
Simple.
Just ties in, doesn't it?
Because if someone said to me, look, you can make £300 a week by working 3 hours a week. This stuff is like,
it's simple. We make it complicated, don't we?
We do make it complicated. And it's the same with LinkedIn. People make it really fucking complicated because they want to charge you a premium to demystify it.
Yes.
Whereas I make it really, really simple and charge you a premium for making it simple.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why people try and make it so complicated. Yeah. It's easy.
Yeah. Helen, like, I mean, this has been incredible. Like, talking to you has been absolutely wonderful. I think this is the longest podcast I've done yet, actually. And
I've been the longest podcast a few times. I think that might be down to me not being able to shut up. So apologies for that.
But it's been really, obviously, really, really good. I know there's massive amounts of value for everyone that's been listening to this. You've been an inspiration.
I hope so.
Where for people that is listening that aren't aware of you already, like, where can they find out more about you?
So I always say to follow me on Facebook, which might sound a bit weird, but follow me on my personal Facebook. I can't accept any more friends come up to the 5,000. Not all my real friends, obviously. But I love Facebook, now, which I know is weird, but I love Facebook. It's my go-to platform still. I mean, I make loads of money out of LinkedIn, sure. But Facebook is like where I just hang out. And I do live video on there all the time, and it's not always about LinkedIn. Weirdly, people are just interested in my life. Great. So I try and do a live every day on my personal wall, and it can be something stupid like me trying to put my Christmas tree up before Christmas, or it can be something about LinkedIn, it could be something about business, it could be something that's happened to me. Like, I like to think that gives you a good all-round information about anything to do with business, really, and my lifestyle. Follow me on Instagram just to see my stories, because I'm trying to get better at them and I'm failing miserably. So you can find me on Facebook. If you just search Helen Pritchard Warrington, you should be able to find me and follow me. And then you'll kind of find out about everything about what's happening in the business from there. Yeah. Follow me on Instagram at Helen Pritchard Online, and obviously follow me on LinkedIn. Again, I'm maxed out on LinkedIn, so I've got 30,000 connections, so you can only follow me on there at the moment. Right. But if you've done any of my training, you'll have a helping headline. You might not know what that means yet, but you will do if you do a free challenge or something like that. Sure. Or download. I've got a free download on that about doing your headline. If you ask me to connect over time, periodically, I go out and I clear people out and I accept people who've got my headline. So I've got an audience full of people who've done my training. So follow me on there. LinkedIn, if you just search for Helen Pritchard Warrington again, you should find me on there. Amazing. And YouTube, need to keep saying this. So coming up this year, so it's 2020 now, I've got a couple of things happening. I've got a podcast coming out, which obviously I want people to listen to, but we're going to run it on YouTube as well. But I'm also doing a TV series for YouTube, which working title is called Helen's Business Nightmares. I need to speak to a certain celebrity chef to see if he's going to let me do that. But that's going to be properly filmed with a production company. We're going to go into people's businesses for a couple of days. I'm going to live with them and I'm going to sort the shit out and then go back after 3 months and make sure they've done what they need to do. So that's going to be fun. So YouTube's a big part of our strategy, if you like, for this year. I'm also on TikTok. don't follow me on there because it's just me doing stupid dances with my kids.
Likewise.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Ellen, it's been absolutely wonderful having you on the podcast. Oh, I look forward to looking at all these different channels you just talked about.
It's going to be Helen's spam. We'll and if you look at anything of mine, you'll get my Facebook adverts in your face everywhere you go as well, so I can only apologise in advance.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we put these links into the description as well, so anyone can have quick link access to any of them as well. Helen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.